Okay, here we go. This is Oral Fitzsimmons from the deep in the heart of Texas, Houston, Texas. And we're here today at Clayton Homes Head Start Center in the corporation called Gulf Coast Community Service Association. And we have a member here today, Miss Lane, who has been working as a Head Start teacher for 30 years. And we're going to find out all about Head Start today. So, you started in 1988, right?
Yes.
And what is your full name?
Laurestine Lane.
Laurestine Lane.
Uh-huh.
Now, you must have been 20 years old when you got started.
I was exactly 25.
Well, just a young thing. So you must be 55 now.
I just turned 56 in August.
Okay, so you're just a young person. I'm 69, so you're a young person. So why don't we start off with you went to school here in Houston?
Yes, I'm a native Houstonian. I was born and raised here in Houston. I attend James Wood Elementary.
Yeah.
From there to Key Miller School.
Key.
From there to Forest Brook High School.
Forest Brook. That used to be in the Forest Brook Independent School District.
Oh, not Forest District?
I think it did. And then the HISD took them over.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
And Forest Brook.
And I also attended Texas Southern University, where my studies were secondary education. I was a parent in Head Start. That's how I became.
There's
a
lot of parents. Well, Ruthie Graves was a parent in Head Start about the same time you started.
Yeah.
And she worked herself on up to a good job here in the agency.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it gives you a good feel because you used to be a parent, so you know where the parents are coming from.
Yes.
Now let me ask you about one of my favorite subjects. Pertaining to you is your daddy.
Yes, R.A. Lane.
Now, he's been a bus driver for the city of Houston for?
He was a bus driver for the city of Houston for 25 years. He's deceased now. He died in 1997.
Well, that was about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Or long time ago.
1997.
Oh, 1997. That's even more. Yeah, that's 20-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me ask you about that. Now, what year did he start driving the bus?
I know he drove for 25 years. I can't exactly say what year. So it was in the 70s when he started driving.
Well?
He drove all the way from the 70s to like the early part of the 90s.
Well, you know what was going on in the 50s and 60s here in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And the conservatives thought separate but equal was just fine.
Yeah.
But he got a job working for the... it was a city bus, right, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Metro got formed in the mid-70s.
Yes, sure.
And then they took it over, and it's its own little political entity. But back in the day when your father started, he was working for the city.
Yeah, I believe it was between 71 and 73 that he began.
Yeah.
Because he's a native from East Texas. He's from St. Augustine.
Oh, I know exactly where St. Augustine is.
Okay. So his way to Houston was that the people from Houston went to the country to recruit guys to build the freeways.
Oh, okay.
So my dad and my grandfather, they built 59.
That's hard work.
I-10 East, they built all the old freeways.
My daddy got his first job when he was 11.
Oh, wow.
Building asphalt roads in Arkansas.
Oh.
And he only lasted one day. Because it was really hard work for an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I guess they didn't have any child employment law. So, you know, he went there and worked a day. And he came home and said, "Mama, that's hard work building those roads. I'm not going back. I'll go do something else." So your dad was probably pretty happy when he got that job at the city.
He
good benefits?
Yes, he loved it. Metro, well, the city of Houston.
City of Houston to start with. But then when Metro took over, it was good too.
Mm-hmm. At the time when my dad passed away, he got sick in 95.
Mm-hmm.
No, longer than that. He got sick in 93. So he had to retire.
Uh-huh.
So when he passed away in 97, he had been away from Metro since 90.
Yeah.
Three, I mean. So I will always remember that a representative from Metro, they came with a great big old tree and a bus. His bus rocked down the
road. Oh, that's so sweet.
Bus. And that's why I said, 'cause we thought they had forgotten about him, but when they found out that he passed away, they sent a representative. And I thought that was so nice.
So how long did he go to TSU?
I actually attended. I have 90 hours to complete. Like I said, I was going to do secondary education, but when I started doing my teacher training at Yates,
mm-hmm.
I found out that that wasn't for me.
Wasn't for you.
The older kids. And yes. I said, I want to start as I was volunteering at Head Start, I enjoyed that. So I said, I want to start teaching where they began.
Okay.
And so that's what I did. So I worked by myself because when I started working in August, my teacher went out in October to have open heart surgery.
So you were in charge.
So I was in charge for a whole year. And at that time,
so the time where you were teacher aide?
Mm-hmm. I started as a teacher assistant.
Well, you know, one of the first things we did when we organized the union here, mm-hmm. you were probably already a teacher by the time we got the union.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. one of the first things the teacher aide says, well, I have to teach that class when the teacher's not there. Mm-hmm. I ought to get a little extra money. So we got
it. We didn't at that time.
You didn't get jack mm-hmm. at that time. You just mm-hmm. had to do the job. Mm-hmm. But we got a thing in our contract 1 year, and we were going to pay them $1 more for every hour they worked alone in the classroom without mm-hmm. a teacher. Then we got it up to 2, and now it's up to 3.
Oh, it is?
So, you know, that it doesn't make, I mean, 3 times 8 is $24, but that's $125 in a week. We got this one woman. We used to have a center out in Deer Park. She was out there. No one paid any attention to her. She worked 3 years
oh, wow.
as a teacher aide. So we ended up getting her like $3,000 or $4,000 when we got that in the contract.
Oh, that was good.
Well, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's little things, but the little things add up. So that was a pretty good job in the 70s for your dad. He was pretty, you know, eventually you're going to get too old to build those roads.
I know.
I drove a truck for 9.5 years, and I got
wow.
too old to drive a truck. That's when I started working for the union.
Oh, okay.
So what you started 30 years ago in this agency. Mm-hmm. There used to be a woman running it named Ruth Marshall.
Oh, yes. I remember Ruth Marshall. She was very good. To me, she was really good. I really missed her.
She really cared
about
the kids.
She did. She did a lot of things for the kids. Had a lot of opportunities for the staff as well. Dr. J is good too, but I guess I just remember Ruth Marshall.
Well,
I feel like she was one of the best.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, she was here for 30 years. So
yes,
she was here
was.
From like the early 60s when this mm-hmm. all started, when Lyndon Baines Johnson instituted Head Start. Mm-hmm. Do you know why he got Head Start started? Mm-hmm. When he got out of college, it was Southwest Texas over there by San Marcos.
Uh-huh.
He went down, his first job was down in the Rio Grande Valley teaching poor Hispanic kids mm-hmm. in a classroom. He says, man, if I ever become president, I'm going to do something about this because these kids, they need a head start. They need to get some learning before they go to first grade.
Yeah.
And when he became president in the first year, he created a thing called the Great Society, and part of it was Head Start because
oh,
he
wow.
knew
mm-hmm.
he knew that the kids coming in from the countryside down there in the Rio Grande Valley, they didn't know much when they got there, and they were behind the kids that you know, had a little bit more to work with. So it's made a big difference to people, certainly here in the South.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some of the people running the place around here is pretty backward.
Mm, that's true. You'd be amazed at how important Head Start is because I have taught some of my students' kids, and for them to remember you that you had an impact on them, it's very, you know, it
very,
makes you keep going.
Makes you feel really good.
It makes you feel really good.
Now, we went to the leadership conference this year in Shreveport, mm-hmm. Louisiana. You was asking me if we're going to have the next one in New Orleans.
Yes.
And from what I can recall, that's where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You go to New Orleans very often?
I only went one time. That's when they first built the Superdome. That's the first time I went.
That must have been a while ago because that dome has been there for a long time.
It was. Yeah, I went there when T.D. Jakes went there.
Well, we're going to be going down to Bourbon Street.
Well, I'm ready.
I know you are.
I'm ready.
At that leadership conference, I realized something I hadn't realized before, and that the woman that works for us with me here in Houston, Tyler was actually a student of yours in Head Start.
Yes, she was.
Now, how does that make you feel?
That made me feel good because, like I said, I never forget the students, especially those that stand out, the uniqueness of it. And she was a very outspoken child at that age.
She still is.
And I thought, when I saw her, I said, wait a minute, I know her.
I know her.
And she had a unique name. And I knew then that she was going to be something great. You know, because she had such a leadership attitude.
What's her last name again?
I can't remember Tyler's last name, but I know that first name.
You can't forget the first name because she's named after a city in in Texas named Tyler. I spent some time in the mid-80s up in Tyler working as a nursing home worker, so I know Tyler really well. Mm-hmm. And it sure does make me feel good that I was able to hire a woman that was taught early in life by one of our members. It's just a real warm feeling.
I know it was a warm feeling for me too, but I remember.
When did you first join Local 100?
About 20 years.
It seems like it's been that long. I think that's mm-hmm. how long. I think you joined it right when we started.
Yeah, I believe so.
We had a tussle. We had to have a big vote.
You sure did, but you were such an impact. I mean, the things that you said, and I said, well, you know what? That makes sense. We do need someone to back us up, you know,
right.
working at a job like this, because we don't know our rights.
And a person
everything.
To ask for things, like more money for the teacher
money.
Aides
yeah.
while they're teaching the class for you. And, you know, there's a whole lot of things. And, you know, what I do a lot of is sit around like this and talk to people in the centers and try to get ideas from them, because they know about Head Start better than I do, because they work at it.
Yes,
now,
true.
I've been working at it for 20 years, so I do know quite a bit about Head Start. Mm-hmm. But I'm always getting new ideas from people. And we have a contract survey we're giving out to our members, like we do every year when we start bargaining.
Uh-huh.
And I'm giving that to you today. Don't need to fill it out right now, but we ask for people to give us ideas, and we're going to be bargaining the contract next month.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get this contract survey out, you might want to make copies of it and give them to everybody in the building.
Okay.
We like to listen to what people have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us better at the bargaining table. And now, of course, you're going to be invited to be on the bargaining committee.
Okay,
have you been on the bargaining committee
no,
before?
No, I've never
well,
have.
Well, see, now you went to the leadership conference. Now you're a leader, so you're going to be on that bargaining committee, and you'll be representing everyone at this facility. And part of your job is to listen real good, take notes, and then come back and tell everybody what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that way everyone hears it from you this center.
Okay, this one thing I like about Dr. J, Ms. Reynolds, she's very open-minded with us as it comes to the union. So I think she kind of worked with us.
Well, you know, she does work with the union. And
uh-huh.
She's realized that the union's a good thing.
She
has a godfather for her two children.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Congressman Al Green.
Oh, okay.
And Al Green has been a friend of mine for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And when he first ran for election, guess what this union did? Gave him $5,000.
Oh, that was good.
Well, ka-ching. You know what Al Green also did when they were voting on the creation of Head Start, not Head Start, mm-hmm. but Obamacare. I'm watching it on TV on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a phone call, and I'm looking at the TV, and I pick up the phone, and I'm looking at Al Green on TV, and he's calling me.
Really?
On the floor of the house. And he said, Oral, we're going to win Obamacare by 2 votes.
Oh.
So I called him up the next day and said, Al, you were wrong. We won by 3.
Well, that was amazing within itself.
Well, I feel honored that Al is a friend of our locals and a friend of mine and a friend of yours. And he's spoken 3 times. He's spoken at our leadership conference more than anyone else has. He's mm-hmm. spoken 3 different times. Once in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Matter of fact, you know, he's from New Orleans. He was born in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
So what we're going to do is, when we have it this next year in New Orleans, mm-hmm. we're going to invite him back.
And that would be nice.
We'll get a picture with you and him together.
Oh, I sure will.
He was he's been a congressman. Before he was a congressman, he was a judge. JP, Justice of the Peace, mm-hmm. and he was that for like 26 years. He was also president of the NAACP here in Houston.
Matter of fact,
he revitalized it and like tripled the membership while he was president.
Oh, wow.
And you know what his number one thing that he wants to see happen in the world? And that would be an increase in the minimum wage.
Yes, that's number
one. We did a campaign, Local 100 did, back in 1997, mm-hmm. to increase the minimum wage inside the city limits of Houston to $6.50. Back then it was 5 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
Just up to $6.50. Wasn't going to hurt nobody.
Yeah.
And we did a citywide campaign, and people voted, and he came out in support of it, and NAACP did too.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost. They spent $1.5 million against us. All those big stores like, you know, McDonald's and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's that one? The big store... Walmart.
Walmart.
They all spent
kind
of money because they didn't want to have to pay their people nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost that election, but we know what? We went over to New Orleans and we won it.
Oh, wow.
And then we went to Florida and won the whole state.
Oh,
so we were kind of like one of the first two or three locations in the country to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd pay attention and we'd learn. And then we moved on and eventually we got the whole state of Florida up.
Oh, well, that was
to
good.
To hire a minimum wage. Now, Al Green, after he gets elected to Congress, calls me up and says, Al, I want to do something about the minimum wage. Now, let's have another election.
Yeah.
And I said, Congressman Green, I'm sure glad you called me about mm-hmm. this. But because you know what happened. And once we had that election in 97, in 98 they had a legislative session,
mm-hmm.
and they voted to make it illegal to have many more. So mm-hmm. if it was going to be your big thing, it's best you call me up first, mm-hmm. because it would have looked bad if you'd have tried to do something you couldn't legally do.
Yes.
So we've not been able to, but as soon as we take back the House of Representatives here in Texas,
yes.
we're going to get that law back on the books, because I know Al Green will support us and making that happen. And by the time we do it, we'll probably be asking for $15. I know $6.50.
Yes, yeah.
Our slogan was $6.50 for the city.
Because cost of living has really went up, and we need to meet those needs.
Our local, a couple years ago, went and did the research at HISD, and we found 2,000 people that were making less than $10.
Oh, wow.
And we found out that 75% of them were women. And then we went to the school board, 9 members on the school board, 6 of them were women, which means if you got all the women to vote for it,
mm-hmm.
you could make it happen.
Yes.
So I go to the president of the board and tell her this. So we don't even need the men.
Mm-hmm.
Us women, and not me, if being
but you
woman,
know, yeah.
You women can make it happen for mm-hmm. your sisters.
That's true.
And guess what happened?
Uh-huh.
I was at a Democratic club meeting. I got up and gave a speech about the minimum wage. And, you know, Democrats are all for it anyway. But right after me was the president of the school board. She got up and says, I support Mr. Fitzsimmons' idea.
I know that's right.
And if I get reelected, I'm going to make sure that happens. And guess what? She got reelected.
Uh-uh.
Now, right after that speech, I go up to her and say, well, is there anything I can do to help?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, there are two guys on the school board. I don't know if they're going to vote for it or not, but why don't you go talk to them? So I went and talked to both of them. One, of all surprises, was a Republican.
Hmm.
I talked both of them into supporting it.
Oh.
So they got 8 votes out of 9 for increase in minimum wage, so it went up to $10.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
Now, that helped the 2,000 people
mm-hmm.
that were making less. Some of them were making $8.50, so they got $1.50 an hour. That's another $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
Yeah.
Then we went back the next year, same school board president, we want 12. And guess what?
What happened?
We got it.
Oh, wow, that's
now,
awesome.
After we did that, we went to talk to Reynolds and said, we need to have a minimum wage here in Gulf Coast, and we got it up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's back when HISD was 10. Now yes. HISD is at 12. We're about to bargain another contract, so at that contract,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be asking Dr. Reynolds to pump it up to 12 for everybody here. Now, that's not going to affect you because you make more than that. But this cook that works here,
yes.
this custodian that works here,
mm-hmm.
the teacher aide that works in your classroom.
True.
Now, what happens when you pay people more? They're more likely to stay around. And after mm-hmm. you've had the same teacher aide for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
everything's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get rid of her and get another one. But you can get rid of her easier if you got, you know, if you're paying something decent. So
mm-hmm.
we're in competition for workers in HISD or Gulf Coast. So we got to keep up with them. So a lot of people go around the country now saying, we want 15. And I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But while we're working on that, why don't we get 10? Why don't we get 12? And guess what we're doing in HISD right now?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to go up to 14.
Oh, wow.
10, 12, 14. It's kind of like us poor people. You know, we want to buy something, we got to save for it.
Yes.
So we put money in the piggy bank. We take it slow, and finally we get the money. And then we go
mm-hmm.
buy it. We just don't just go buy it as soon as we want it because we ain't got the money for it.
True.
And
mm-hmm.
the same thing with this minimum wage. It's better to get 10 instead of staying at $8.50. And it's better to get 12. It'd be a lot better to get 14.
It sure will.
Because the people that needed the most are the food service ladies.
True.
Because they only work 9 months a year, so they only make $15,000 a year.
Yeah, and they need that more to carry them up through the
And they need, you know what, the other thing, the food service ladies, they only work 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
If they're lucky. Some of them work 5, but let's say 7. If they got 8 hours a day, they'd make another $2,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do. If they get the 14, they make another $2,000. And what happens then? Instead of making 15, they're making 19. And what are they doing? Working themselves out of poverty.
Yes, that's true.
And you're working yourself out. You're not someone's giving it to you. we're demanding it, and they're giving it to us, and we just keep going because the prices of things keep going up.
It sure do.
So yeah. Praise the Lord and pass the gravy.
I'm not.
So, do you take the health insurance here at the company?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Now, the prices just went up.
Yes.
Did you notice?
Yeah, of course I noticed.
Why did you notice? Did it like almost double?
Oh, yes.
Now, it's good insurance.
Yes, it is good. It really is.
But the deductible went up too.
Yes, I
know. It went up to $1,000.
I know.
Now, you can remember the days when it was $500.
I can remember the days when we weren't paying nothing.
You were getting insurance for free.
Sure.
That was the same thing that was going on in HISD.
Mm-hmm.
They got free insurance too. And working people, man, they flock to these jobs because, oh, the pay's okay. It's not as good as private industry, but the benefits were good.
That would kept you.
You could take
job.
Care of your family.
Yeah, you sure could.
But now, Gulf Coast and HISD cutting back on the benefits.
And you can't. I only have it for myself. Thank God that all my kids are grown.
Yeah.
Because I could barely, you know, afford it for myself.
Oh, I was talking to a lady yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I was talking about joining you. She said, I can't afford it. I said, well, what do you mean you can't afford it? I didn't even tell how much it was. Okay? She said, well, I pay $800 a month for health insurance for my husband and my kid.
Yes, she does.
So, I mean, I said, well, you're working for the insurance company. You ought to just go work for them and skip working for Gulf Coast. And so, you know, this insurance is, you know, it kind of slowed down a little bit with Obamacare, but now it seems after, you know, with Trump in, it seems like the insurance costs are going sky high.
Yes, it is.
And guess who gets free insurance at the federal government?
Who?
Mr. Trump. He's not too concerned about it.
Mm-mm.
And he has a doctor that's on his staff. Now, sometimes he's drunk from what I hear, but, you know, he's on his staff. So he's got all the medical care he could possibly need. He has his own doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you having a doctor follow you around everywhere just in case you get sick. He's there at the
White
House
every
day. Well, it should be.
Nice.
Well, it looks like it'd make him a nicer person, though. So is there one thing here at Gulf Coast you think that they could change and make a little bit better that would make this place a better place to work, or is everything just perfect?
Everything is not perfect, but it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I would say is just the prices of the insurance, because right now they have been more supported as it comes to the staff from what I can see. We do have a little bit more support.
Dr. Reynolds has made a difference.
Yeah, she has made a big difference. So I have to give her that. So it's a good company to work for because they do stand behind the parents and the staff. And they did help us a lot during the hurricane. Yeah.
What'd they do?
Well, for instance, because I was able to get some money because I had the things that I lost during the Hurricane Harvey.
Well, tell me about that.
Yeah,
what'd
because the roof had kind of flooded in my house.
The roof?
And I lost my living room suit and my bedroom suit.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Gulf Coast allowed me some funds, but I was able to replace my living room suit.
Well, praise. And I didn't know that story. That's nice.
Yeah, they did.
Did you get some money from the federal government, too?
Yes, I did. So I was able to get a new bedroom suit and a living room suit, you know. But I wouldn't even get a dime. It said, yeah, but I'm good. I'm working on that from there. But so they were very supportive during the time that we lost Harvey, you know. And we was able, if you needed things from the food bank as well, so.
That goes a long ways. And
yeah, they
you,
was
you
very
remember
supportive.
It this month, next month, and next month. Mm-hmm. Your company that you work for and given pretty much your whole life to.
Yes, they have.
They
and
stood
they,
by
I
you.
Have to say they stood by me. And the lady was saying, you know, I wish we could give more. I said, this is, you know, more than I expected. So, you
so
know, they
tell
were very
me about
supportive.
The hurricane. Now, that was a year ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
So it's still fresh in your mind.
Very.
So were you sitting in the house when it got all wet? Or did you leave?
I was there. I was in the house. I was there. My mom was there. And my daughter and her kids was there because I live upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it flooded, you know, in our area. So we was like, it was my driveway and everything was like a river. So we just stayed in the house. And lucky that we had, you know, we had already went to the store and got food.
Did your car get wet?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about cars. You don't have a car.
Well, my daughter's car kind of floated a little bit.
Floated a little bit.
Yes.
But you've been, because of your father's influence, you knew all about buses all over the city.
That's all I do. I can go all over the city. I know back streets and everything because of riding the
Well, you
bus.
Know, my daughter's been living in New York City for 5 years, and she didn't buy a car. Her husband didn't buy a car. My son lived there for 3 years. He never got a car. Of course, they got a little bit better transit in New York. So when you go someplace, how do you go? On a bus?
No, actually, now, no, my daughter drives me.
Well, what about when you were younger?
on the bus.
So you bust a lot.
But you know, Metro is good too now. Yeah, you know, they get you
when you go
a lot
grocery
faster.
Shopping, you go on the bus back when you were younger?
Yeah.
So you could only get 2 or 3 sacks at a time,
yeah.
Huh? You had to be careful what you bought.
Yeah. Sometimes I had people that would carry me to the store as well, too. But pretty much everywhere I went, I travel on the bus. All I had to do is call that 713-635-4000. They would tell you where you're coming from, how to get there,
yeah,
and what time.
So did your dad, being a bus man, did he get a discount and give it to you?
No, he gave us transfer. Back then, we rode buses on transfer all day long. Things are changing.
Yeah.
He would give us transfer enough for the whole week to go back and forth.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Yeah,
that's a good daddy you had.
We wanted money. We didn't want no transfer.
We wanted some cash. Well, you know, my dad was a postman. He was in the Air Force for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Didn't make nothing in the Air Force, but we had a nice little house the Air Force gave us on the base and stuff. But mm-hmm. when we moved back, when he retired from the Air Force 20 years, he went to work for the post office 10 years. And that was a good insurance, a good steady job. It wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't going to, you know, be approved and sent to the Philippines or something. It was something that's going to be here for a long time. Post office always been here, mm-hmm. since America has. So he had a good post office job. He became president of the union there at the post office.
Oh, wow.
In 1961, when it first came in at the post office. You know why it came in? Because of... John F. Kennedy mm-hmm. told the government, said, let them have a union.
Oh,
the union supported him for president, so he supported us for working people. Mm-hmm. And that made a difference when the president say, do it. And so I grew up on a good government job just like you did.
Yeah.
Food on the table every month, every week, every day. And we used to...
Yes, sir. Uh-oh, give it a close down. But they...
Well, is there any... before we leave, let's close it up now. Is there anything you want to say to the people out there in Local 100 Radio Land?
Mm-hmm.
Something about the union. Like how they maybe want to... They ought to join if they get a chance, because it's a fun bunch of people.
You need to join. It's a fun bunch of people, and they will support you to the end.
So we've made a difference to some
you
people.
You made a big difference to a lot of people, a lot of influence, and very positive things that you gave to us.
Well,
so that's why I've been in unit for more than 20-some years, so, and I will be
and
in
it's been
unit.
Worth every penny of dues.
It's been worth every penny.
So as I always say at the end of our radio interviews, from deep in the heart of Texas, Houston, Texas, sitting here in Clayton Homes Nursing Home. Head Start. A facility. I started organizing. When I first started organizing, I was doing nursing homes. I don't know what got me back to nursing homes. But Head Start, yeah, Head Start program. So we're going to be talking to a lot more Head Start workers in the near future. Maybe mm-hmm. even some more from here in Clayton Homes, if you can talk some of them into it. But it's we're going to get this on the air, and when we do, we'll let you know so you can listen to it.
I sure will. Thank you.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.